My wife and I had the privilege of attending the Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manti, Utah this summer. One night before the beginning of the pageant, we spoke to the cast members. Because of the large number of the cast, we had to speak to them in two sessions. The pageant had a cast of over 800 individuals, with 570 of them being under the age of 18. 100 additional cast members participated this year, requiring the sisters in charge of the wardrobe to come up with additional costumes, which they did. It was an inspiration to see how well they were organized in taking care of every detail. The setting of the pageant is the beautiful hillside just below the Manti Temple, where there were 15,000 people in attendance the night we watched the pageant. It was a thrill to see the army of young men and women catch the vision of the story of the restoration as they performed their parts with such enthusiasm and spirit. Something we love to do when we visit Manti is to attend a temple session. There's a special spirit in these older temples, which were constructed with great sacrifice by the early pioneers. Attending a temple session in Manti was an emotional experience for me. It brought back great memories of how I remembered the Logan Temple before it was remodeled and modernized. As we progressed through the temple session, I could hear in every room those early pioneers saying, "Look what we built with our own hands. We did it without power equipment. No contractors, subcontractors were involved in the construction. No fancy cranes to lift up the heavy stones. We performed this labor under our own power." What a glorious heritage these early San Pete pioneers have left to us. Former United States President Ronald Reagan has been quoted as saying, "I do not want to go back to the past. I want to go back to the past way of facing the future." His counsel still resonates within me. There's something about reviewing the lessons of the past to prepare us to face the challenges of the future. What a glorious legacy of faith, courage, ingenuity those noble early Mormon pioneers have left for us to build upon. My admiration for them deepens the longer I live. Embracing the gospel resulted in a complete change of life for them. They left everything behind, their homes, their businesses, their farms, and even their beloved family members, to journey into a wilderness. It must have been a real shock when Brigham Young announced, "This is the place." Before them was a vast desert wasteland, barren of green hills, trees, and beautiful meadows, most of which the early pioneers had known. With firm faith in God and their leaders, the early pioneers went to work to create beautiful communities in the shadows of the mountains. Many weary pioneers had just started to enjoy some of the modern, modest comforts of life when Brigham Young called them to leave their homes again and journey to the east, to the west, to the north, and the south to colonize the Great Basin. This is how the communities of San Pete County, Fairview, Ephraim, Manti, Moroni, and Mount Pleasant were established. Upon my return from my visit to San Pete, I felt a desire to learn more about these early pioneers. I decided to spend a few hours in the New Church History Library and read a little about their history. It was in the year 1849, just 2 years after they had arrived in the Salt Lake Valley, when Brigham Young, the great colonizer of the West, called a group of saints to journey south and start building their homes and communities all over again in another desert wasteland. A short time after they had settled in San Pete, President Heber C. Kimball visited the Manti community and promised them that on the hill overlooking the valley, a temple would be built using stones from the mountain in the east in its construction. Some years passed after the visit of President Kimball, and the citizens began to be anxious that nothing was being done to construct a temple for their use. "We must have a temple in our community," declared one of the citizens. "We've waited long enough for this blessing." Another one said, "If we're going to have a temple, we'd better get busy and build it." And that's just what they did. The cornerstone was laid on the 14th day of April, 1879, some 30 years after they'd arrived in the San Pete Valley. There are many stories that could be told about the diligence of the workmen who put in their very best in the construction of this beautiful temple. President Hinckley said several years ago on the rededication of the Manti Temple, "I've been to the great buildings of the world, but in none do I get a feeling like coming into these pioneer houses of God." The Hinckley family had a very special connection with the Manti Temple. Sister Marjorie Hinckley's grandfather lost his life from injuries sustained in its construction. To better understand how the past can provide a better way of facing the future, I would like to share an account from the building of the Manti Temple. Then I want to share what it has taught me about true principles. Some of the fine carpenters from Norway arrived and settled in Manti and were given the assignment of building the roof of the temple. They had never built a roof structure before, but they had experience as a shipbuilder. They didn't know how they would design a roof. Then the thought came to them, "Why don't we just build a ship? Then, because a well-built ship is solid and secure, if we turn the plans upside down, we'll have a secure roof." And they set about to plan a ship. And when it was completed, they turned the plans upside down, and it became the roof of the Manti Temple. In this case, they used the lessons from the past, the principles of shipbuilding, to help them meet the challenge. They correctly reasoned that the same principles that applied in building a seaworthy vessel would also apply to building a solid roof. For example, a structure needed to be waterproofed. The basic integrity of the structure wouldn't be affected by its orientation, whether right side up or upside down. The most important thing was to have a working knowledge of the basic principles required to erect any structure that was built to last. Embedded in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are eternal principles and truths that will last far longer than the principles of building ships and roofs. You and I, as members of the Lord's true church, have special access and insight into these eternal principles and truths, especially when we listen to the Spirit for individual guidance and hear the prophet's voice as he declares the will of God to the members of the church. You and I both know how important these eternal principles and truths are in our lives. I'm not sure those early pioneers could have faced the perils and uncertainties of the future without them, and neither can we. They are the only true and eternal way to face the future, especially in these increasing perils and uncertain times in which we now live. These Norwegian shipbuilders brought with them fundamental skills of their trade, which could be used to turn from shipbuilding to building temples. What caused the dramatic shift in priorities? There is only one answer that explains their willingness to sacrifice everything to become builders of the kingdom of God. They had been taught to accept eternal principles and truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They realized that their mission was not only to help build edifices, but it was to contribute to the edification of others by sharing a knowledge of the gospel. As we read in section 50 of the Doctrine and Covenants, "He that preacheth and that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together." When we receive the special blessings and knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and took upon ourselves the name of Christ and entered the waters of baptism, we also accepted the obligation to share the gospel with others. Recently, to accomplish more fully our responsibility of proclaiming the gospel, The church has turned the missionary program upside down. Some years ago, we eliminated state missions and shifted our focus and efforts toward the ward mission organization. With a ward mission plan developed by every ward council in the church, progress is being made at an ever-increasing rate. Much of the success of being achieved by the full-time missionaries, working closely with ward councils, ward mission leaders, and ward members of the church. We have discovered that a ward-based missionary work increases involvement in finding and teaching investigators. Often investigators are invited to receive the missionary lessons in members' homes. Ward members become more excited when their precious gospel of Jesus Christ is being directly experienced, the sweet blessings of missionary service, and they are receiving reminders from their ward leaders. Members become more inclusive as they ponder and pray about sharing the gospel with friends and neighbors and family members of other faiths. President Gordon B. Hinckley taught, "So many of us look upon missionary work as simply tracting. Everyone who is familiar with the work knows there's a better way. That way is through the members of the church. Wherever there's a member who introduces an investigator, there's an immediate support system. The member bears the testimony of the truthfulness of the work. He is anxious for the happiness of his investigator friend. He becomes excited when that friend makes progress in learning the gospel. The full-time missionaries will continue to do most of the actual teaching of investigators, but members will have ample opportunity to answer questions and share their testimony. We heed the prophet's voice more fully by preparing ourselves to teach the basic gospel principles. Preparation removes fear. It also simplifies and strengthens the members in their support of the full-time missionaries. There are three basic lessons the full-time missionaries teach: the restoration, the plan of salvation, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. How prepared are you to give witness and testimony to the truthfulness of these very basic lessons? Using the inspired missionary manual, Preach My Gospel, to study and prepare yourself to play that supporting role to the full-time missionaries as they teach these basic gospel discussions. May we all learn both of the important lessons taught by the shipbuilders from Norway who constructed the roof of the Manti Temple. The principles and truths of the past to help us face the future. And second, may we learn from their desire to share what they knew with others to help build the kingdom of God. The second lesson, if learned well, will help many others of our brothers and sisters, fellow sons and daughters of God, face the uncertain future with the same eternal assurance we have. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. It has been restored to bless the lives, our lives in these latter days. It contains all the truths, principles, and ordinances contained in our Father in Heaven's great plan of happiness, which is a plan for us to live and follow Him into the eternal realms beyond. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the divine way for us to face our glorious future, is my testimony to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.